Blog Talk Radio.
A few seconds away from switching to the redundant sense sequencer. T-minus 27 seconds. We have gone for redundant set sequencer start. T-minus 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15, 14, 13. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. We've gone for main engine start. We have main engine start.
Gentlemen, rock and roll.
Everyone doing today? I have a great show planned for you. If there's any Police fans out there, being that it is the 25th anniversary of the Police's most famous album, Synchronicity, I have Uncle Jim, also known as Jim, on my show today. My co-host is here in the studio with me. Jim, would you like to say a few words to everybody?
Hey, thanks for having me on DJ Styles. It's always
You're welcome.
Fun to come on with you.
So before we get started, I would just like to fill you in on what we will be doing today. I have a few facts about the Police. I'm going to be playing some of my favorite songs. And as you all know, or you may remember, in March of 2003, the Police were inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame. The songs that they played during that were Message in the Bottle, Everything She Does is Magic, one of my absolute favorites, and Roxanne, which was also featured in the movie Just Go With It with Adam Sandler. So I hope you enjoy. Please feel free to come in and call us and tell us what you think, or if there's any Police song that you would like to hear, or just in general to tell us your thoughts. The show number is 646-668-2433. Again, the studio number is 646-668-2433. The first song is going to be Message in the Bottle. But before I play that song, Jim, do you have any thoughts about the Police, being that you're another big fan?
Well, the Police were formed by Andy Summers, Stuart Copeland, and Sting. The first Police album that I ever purchased was Ghost in the Machine, which featured Spirits of the Material World and Every Little Thing She Does is Magic, which were both heavily played on MTV because that was during the MTV era. Of course, the album immediately after that was Synchronicity, which was their biggest hit, and it would be their last album together. They did reunite when they went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they played three songs, as DJ Styles said, at the top of the hour. But, you know, the hopes of the Police reuniting for a tour or a future album never came to fruition, because when the band got back in the studio again, Sting didn't want to give his songs to the band, and so he decided to go solo, and the Police were no more. Now, Stuart and Andy went on to do various other things, but no more rock and roll. Sting went on to have a pretty decent solo career. Me, personally, I can't stand Sting. I don't like his new music. To me, every Sting song that he puts out sounds exactly the same as any other Sting song. There's no difference, which is confusing, because you would think that Sting would sound like the Police, but his songs don't. The Police had a distinctive sound, as Sting has a distinctive sound, and they're two very different things. I don't like Sting's style of music solo, but I do like Sting when he's with the Police. The Police had, of course, their debut album, Police, Zendata Miñata, which was Don't Stand So Close to Me, and Outmore, what was the name of that album, DJ Styles? Outland D'Amour.
Outland D'Amour, yes, that's right.
So the Police put out a total of 5 albums, each one progressively better than the one before it. Like I said, my favorite two are Ghost in the Machine and Synchronicity. DJ Styles is going to play Synchronicity in its entirety from beginning to end on this show. So if you're a Police fan, or if you haven't heard the Police before, or if you haven't heard Synchronicity in a while, this is the show for you, because DJ Styles is going to play the album from track number one, side number one, all the way through to the final track on the second side of the album. So without any further ado, DJ Styles, take it away.
All right, guys, the first song you will hear today is Message in a Bottle. And I always like this song because I love the beat, and I always, for some reason, don't ask me why, being that it's the name of the song, I always imagine myself sitting on the beach writing a message and putting it in a bottle and tying it to a bird as it flies away. But, Jim, what do you think of Message in a Bottle? Did you like that song?
Yeah, Message in a Bottle is one of the earlier hits from the Police. I think it might actually be their first hit. I might be mistaken, but I think they're one of their first hit singles, Message in a Bottle. I always liked it. It's a fun song. Take a listen.
All right, here's Message in a Bottle. Enjoy. Now I can sort of see why they would be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I always loved Police. I fell in love with the Police for Every Breath You Take. I love that song, and Message in the Bottle is pretty good. This song that you just heard, Everything She Does Is Magic, was off of their album Ghost in the Machine, which that's pretty good, but I'm still in love with Synchronicity. I don't know about you, Jim, but what did you think of the Ghost in the Machine album?
A lot of good stuff on that album. I really like it. Like I said earlier, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic and Spirits in the Material World. Now, if you listen to that song and Message in the Bottle, the Police have a very distinctive sound, snare drums, bass. They have a very distinctive sound. And you're going to hear that sound in a lot of the songs that DJ Styles is going to play. However, when they got back together in 1986 to try to make an album, they just couldn't do it, and they ended up re-recording one of what I think is one of their best songs, and that's Don't Stand So Close to Me, and they butchered the song, and what I call they stingified it. They took Don't Stand So Close to Me and turned it into a sting song, and they took all that distinctive Police influence out, and it became a sting song. And later on, when DJ Styles plays the Synchronicity album, you will hear the stingification of Police come into play. Wrapped Around Your Finger, King of Pain, Tea in the Sahara. A lot of these songs are sting songs. They sound like Sting, and they are Sting. Whereas a lot of the other songs on the album, like Synchronicity 1 and 2, Every Breath You Take, Murder by Numbers, a lot of the other songs on that album still have that distinctive Police sound, but you can hear, as the Police go on, Sting's influence moving into the band and eventually causing the breakup of the band. But the next song that we're going to hear For you older folks out there, you may remember a movie called 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte, and the movie starts with Eddie Murphy singing this next song, and he's got some headphones on, and he's in jail, and he's singing, Roxanne! And right off the bat, you know what you're in for. And that song would be the Police's, one of their...
Well, any movie with Eddie Murphy, you're in for a treat, but that's just me. But, you know, I don't know. I do have to agree with you, Jim. It's a great song. Now, Ghost in the Machine was good, but how can you not love this next song? I mean, it does have a little bit of a little non-appropriate meaning to it. It's basically about this man who falls in love with a prostitute. And back in the old days, they used to have this thing called the red light district. I don't know if any of you know. You turn on a red light, and that means that you wanted a prostitute. Anyhow, getting back to the Police, Roxanne is an awesome song, given its sexual meaning. But these next couple of songs you're going to hear after that is they were not on the CD at all, which is actually surprising. And being the Police fan that I am, I would be pretty upset if I brought a record or a CD and the music I liked was not on there. Now, Jim, since you are from the old days or the 80s, I would love to get in the time machine and drive back, go back in time to the 80s and actually buy that record, because I have never owned a record or played one. Actually, I do, but it's hanging on my wall of Joan Jett, but I don't have a record player to play that. But, Jim, what was your initial reaction when you went out and brought your first ever Police record? It doesn't have to be Synchronicity.
Well, like I said, Ghost of the Machine was the first Police album I bought, but the couple of songs after Roxanne, you're going to hear two Police songs that were not featured on the Synchronicity album. These were the B-sides of the 45s. Now, for those of you who don't know what a 45 is, a 45 was a single. It was one song. It was a little mini record, and you had one song on side A and another song on side B. And in the case of the Police, the two songs that were on Wrapped Around Your Finger and Every Breath You Take were not taken off the Synchronicity album. In fact, they weren't taken off of any Police album anywhere. These were just studio tracks that they recorded and didn't think were, for whatever reason, were good enough to be on the album. So they slapped them on the B side of the 45. Now, a lot of times you can find some jewels on the back sides of 45s if you ever flip them over and listen to them. Of course, I'm going back. We don't have to worry about that anymore. But back in the day, when you bought a 45, you always flipped it over to see what was on the second side, because sometimes they would have a song off that album. Sometimes they would, and it would be a song off a different album. So you got two songs for the price of one. So DJ Styles has both of those songs, deep tracks, that were not featured on the album that she's going to play after Roxanne. And one of the things that bugged me about the Synchronicity album, I always used to buy the vinyl, and I'd put it on my record player, and I'd buy a Maxell tape, and I'd pop it in, and I'd make a cassette recording of the album. And that way I always had the album. It didn't get scratched. And if the cassette got melted, wrecked, or stolen, I just made another copy. So I bought everything on vinyl. However, the Police released a single called Murder by Numbers 1, 2, 3, and that became another hit off the Synchronicity album. However, the song wasn't on the album. Go figure. It was a bonus track only included on the CD or the cassette. So if you bought the album, you didn't get the song. So I heard it on the radio, and I went and bought the album. I went home and played it, and I was like, where's Murder by Numbers? It's not on the album. So that kind of like, what the hell? Now I got to go out and buy a cassette or a CD just to get this one song? So, yeah, sometimes that works against you, and sometimes it works for you. But coming up next, we're going to hear one of the most recognizable songs by the Police, and I'll let DJ Styles take it away.
All right. Thank you for sharing your wonderful police fan story, Jim. And here is Roxanne. Sit back and enjoy.
told I'd have to marry you. Once upon a daydream, doesn't happen anymore. Once upon a moonbeam, this is no place for tenderness. Once her daddy found out, he threw her to the floor. He killed her unborn baby, kicked me from the door. Once upon a nightmare, I bought myself a gun. I blew her daddy's brains out. Now hell has just begun. Once upon a daydream, doesn't happen anymore. Once upon a moonbeam, this is no place.
Once Upon a Daydream, one of the songs that was not featured on the album, which explains why it does not sound familiar to me. I don't think I've ever heard it, but it does sound like one of Sting's songs. I don't know, Jim, what do you think about Once Upon a Daydream?
Well, I've never heard either one of those songs, and this is the first time for me. And, you know, they were okay. I wouldn't say they were lousy songs, but I could see why they didn't make the cut. But, you know, it's a deep track. It's a song that most people probably have never heard unless you remember flipping over the 45. So I'm glad we had a chance to share those two songs with you guys. But Roxanne, that's always a good song.
Mm-hmm. And before we move on to the movie Madness section, the Police were ranked number one for the most played songs on the radio during the 80s, which is understandable. Then 1982, they also received the Brit Award for the best contribution to British music, and they were just great all the way around, best group. And they were just one of the hottest bands in the 80s, which you can imagine. I haven't heard a song yet that I didn't like other than Once Upon a Daydream, which is sort of understandable. I don't think they would have needed that on the album. But, you know, as Jim said, I don't think anyone would have flipped over the 45. And if you did, I don't think it's really worth hearing. But that's just me. So Daydreaming Ahead, the Suicide Squad, there's a lot about this movie that I'm excited about. I'm really excited about the way the characters are reenacting, and I'm not sure if any of you had a chance to check out my Facebook page. at DJ Styles on Facebook. I have a whole page, and every week I always post stuff related to my shows and entertainment, music, news, always. And in case you don't know what my show is about overall, it's mostly about music, and I do have a little section about movies. And also, I like to put a little promotion in for my co-host, Jim, which I'll have him talk a little bit about his show in just a second. He's all about sci-fi movies and fantasy, the fantasy world of Star Trek and beyond. Jim, would you like to tell everyone a little bit about your show before we talk about movies?
Yeah, actually, tomorrow night, well, tomorrow afternoon, for people out in L.A., from 7:30 to 8:30, we're going to have Natasha Young on with us live. Natasha was an extra in Star Trek Beyond. She was an Enterprise crew member, and she was on set for 3 days filming with the crew, and she's going to share stories with us, tell us what it was like to be on set with the crew, what they were like, what it was like to be issued her Starfleet uniform, the first time she put it on, the whole nine yards. So tomorrow, you want to give us a call and talk to Natasha if you ever want to ask anybody a question about what it's like to work on Star Trek or to be an actor. This is the show for you. Natasha Young will be live with us from 7:30 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, 3 hours earlier if you're in L.A. So you want to check that out. And then after Natasha leaves us, we're going to be talking about Star Trek Beyond. What did we think about it? Did we like it? Did we hate it? What were our thoughts? And if we get a chance, if we don't run out of time, we're going to talk a little bit about the new Star Trek series that's set to debut in 2017 called Star Trek Discovery. So that's tomorrow, 7:30, Blog Talk Radio. You can check out my Facebook page at Star Trek. I'm sorry, Trek Talk and Beyond on Facebook. And that's pretty much it. DJ Styles and I are going to talk a little bit about the Suicide Squad.
Yes, and Jim, what are your thoughts about Suicide Squad? Do you think the movie, you know, since it's about comic books and all, and you being the comic book guru, I mean, I like comic books, don't get me wrong, I love them, but Harley Quinn was always one of my favorites, Batman, yes, and the Joker, absolutely, but I don't know if you guys have ever seen, as I started to say before Jim introduced his show, I put a picture up from the filming of the movie where Batman lands on top of the Joker's car as he's taking Harley Quinn on a lovely date, which I actually have the clip for you guys, so stay tuned because you'll get a chance to hear that in just a few moments. But Jim, what do you think about the Suicide Squad?
Well, actually, I'm a Marvel man. I've always been a Marvel man. I've never was much into DC Comics. I caught The Flash once in a while, a Green Lantern maybe here and there, Batman occasionally, but I never follow DC Comics. However, DC makes a hell of a TV show, whereas Marvel makes a hell of a movie. DC has yet to make a good movie, unfortunately. Batman versus Superman stunk. The three-hour extravaganza director's cut that came out on Blu-ray is really good, and that's worth watching. But the original cut really stunk. And I think the problem is DC assumes that everybody that's watching these movies read the comic books, memorized the comic books, knows everything about the comic books. So as long as they stick to the source material, they're going to have a good movie. Well, unfortunately, comic books are comic books, movies are movies, and they're two completely different medias. You can't just take a comic book, make it into a movie, and think it's going to be good. And DC hasn't figured this out yet. Unfortunately, Suicide Squad, which I never heard from or heard of before until they were on Arrow, which is on CW. And Amanda Waller, who is married to John Deagle, who is Arrow's sidekick on the show, she sets up the Suicide Squad on the TV series. And on the TV series, it's made up of all these bad guys that Arrow has apprehended through the course of the series. And so when they did it on the TV show, it worked great because we already knew who all these people were. Now, enter Suicide Squad, the movie. And here's where I think they're going to have a problem. I haven't seen the movie. I don't know. But this is just my opinion. When you take a movie and you make it about a bunch of bad guys that nobody's ever seen or heard of before, I don't personally see how that's going to work. I can't see how the audience can associate with or feel connected to a criminal character that we've never seen before. Now, everybody knows the Joker, but this is a different version of the Joker. Harley Quinn's never been in a movie. She's been in video games. Deadshot, Croc, all these other people that are in this movie, we've never seen before. Unless you read a comic book, you wouldn't know them. And I think that they're taking a big risk by putting all these super criminals in a movie that nobody has ever seen before, with the exception of the Joker. When you make a movie, you can't pander to the comic book heads because they're not going to be the ones filling the seats at the theater. It's got to be something that the general movie-going public is going to watch. And I don't think Suicide Squad is going to be that movie. I could be wrong. We'll find out when it opens on Friday. But I don't know. That's just my feeling on it. I think that they have to develop these characters and give us, you know, a reason to want to see it. And so far, I'm not really, really, really super psyched about it. So that's my take on the Suicide Squad. I mean, well, what do you think, DJ Style?
I mean, I'm with you, but then I'm not with you because I haven't heard of this particular comic myself. But according to the critics, and I don't know, you may have heard, there's this big thing about they don't think the movie is going to be great at the box office because of what Jim had just mentioned. It's not the same, and with any movie, it was similar. Okay, we'll compare this to Harry Potter, even though it's two different, completely different things. Most people that read Harry Potter would complain about the movie, saying that the characters don't match up, they're not what they thought, the story wasn't as good as the book. Well, a book is not a movie, and a movie is not a book. And in this case, a comic is a comic and not a movie. And, you know, you have Enchantress and you have the Joker. And, of course, Batman, they didn't really even show you him in the trailer. I mean, that much. And they showed a bunch of all these other characters who I don't even remember seeing. Of course, I can't remember his name right now. But the dude that's sitting there, I don't know if you know, Jim, but you saw in the trailer that they're sitting at the bar and he just orders water because he breathes fire and all of that good stuff. I don't know. I've never seen that character in my life. But, you know, and there's this one particular scene that they showed you in the Comic-Con trailer where Harley Quinn is kicking people's asses in the freaking thing. Excuse my language. She's coming out. Hope there's no kids in the room. But I'm just really excited about this movie because Harley Quinn's been one of my favorites. She comes out, and they're all sitting there staring at her like, what the F did you just do? You just kicked their butts, and then you're just walking out of the elevator like nothing happened? That's Harley Quinn for you. And then I love the date night scene because Harley Quinn, I don't know if you guys saw that on my board, but I posted an article about Harley Quinn, and she had her own sequel and trailer and herself for her acting, and that was actually, they took the trailer from the date night scene, which you will hear momentarily. But I don't know, Jim, if you had to pick a character, who's your favorite in Suicide Squad as of now?
Well, I heard that Ben Affleck is going to make an appearance as Batman, and I'm looking forward to that because I think Ben Affleck played an awesome Batman. So I'm not really, so far, I'm not too thrilled about the third version of the Joker that we've seen. The original Joker, played by Jack Nicholson in 1989 opposite Michael Keaton in the first Batman movie, was awesome. He played the Joker as a funny, free-for-all, whimsical, yet evil type of character. And then we had the Dark Knight version of Joker, played by Heath Ledger, and he played him as a psychopath, complete departure from Jack Nicholson. And now we have a new version of Joker. So we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. The box office will tell. If it's playing at the drive-in or something, we definitely will go and see it. But this is not a movie like Star Trek Beyond or Ghostbusters that I'm going to go to the movies, you know, and plunk down $12.50 to see. It just doesn't thrill me that much to want to pay that much money to go see it. So we'll see what happens on Friday when it opens up. But I do believe that DJ Styles has a couple of clips to play for us.
Yes, I do. And this is the one moment you've all been waiting for. Here's Batman when he ruins date night. It's pretty funny. Take a listen.
Got company.
Betsy.
Stupid bats, you're ruining date night!
That was pretty funny. I can remember watching that. But that was just hilarious. She gets so mad in that scene that Batman landed on top of the car and ruined their entire evening. But next up, we're going to fast forward to back to the police. And we have Mother coming up and a few other songs. But there's just one thing I'd like to say. I'm not really a big fan of that at all, but we're going to go to
you know, we'll have to wait and see what the box office says about Suicide Squad. Maybe it'll surprise us all and it'll be a runaway hit. I don't know. But DJ Styles is now going to play, as promised, the Synchronicity album in its entirety, from song one to song on side one to song nine on side two. And she's going to start off with Synchronicity 1, as if you guys had just put the new album on and are listening to it for the first time. So we're going to start with Synchronicity 1, and we're going to go right straight through to Murder by Numbers 1, 2, 3, which was the bonus song only found on the CD or the cassette and not available on the album. So we have Synchronicity 1 from the Synchronicity album, 1983.
Yes, and Synchronicity happens to be one of my favorite. And actually, there's a little bit of history involved in that, which I'm not going to get into, but in case you were wondering, it was inspired by Carl Jung's theory of synchronicity. With that, here's Synchronicity. Enjoy.
Sleep, trance, our dreams and
guys. So next up we have Synchronicity 2, which I actually have not heard in a while. It's actually another one of my favorites. It's about a man and his unsatisfying lifestyle, and it was number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100, being that they were one of the best bands of the 80s. And then after that, from side two, we'll be switching gears to Every Breath You Take, which topped the Billboard Hot 100 for 8 consecutive weeks. This song was about a relationship that has gone through a rough patch and a man who is yearning for his lover's love, which I'm sure everybody can relate to, but it happened to be one of the best Police songs that I've ever heard in my entire life, which is why I love Police and I will always love them, and it breaks my heart that they broke up. I'm almost in tears now. Sorry, I get emotional. But anyhow, here is Synchronicity 2, but before we play that, Jim, do you have any thoughts?
Nope, this is the time you flip over the album. We just listened to side one, now we're going into side two, and side two features some of the best songs, Synchronicity 2 being one of them, Every Breath You Take being the ultimate Police song, and probably the biggest song of the 80s. So here we go, side two of Synchronicity. We're going to start it off with Synchronicity 2.
Oh, done a killing. First you make a stone of your heart, and if you find that your hands are still willing, then you can turn a murder into art. There really isn't any need for bloodshed. You just do it with a little more finesse. If you can slip a tablet into someone's coffee, then it avoids an awful lot of mess. Because it's murder by numbers. 1, 2, 3. It's as easy to learn as your ABC. It's murder by numbers. 1, 2, 3. It's as easy to learn as your ABC. Now, if you have a taste for this experience, then you're flush with your very first success. Then you must try a twosome or a threesome.
Styles for having me on. It was a great show. The Police rock. It was a lot of fun, and we'll do this again some other time.
Thank you, Jim, for joining me, and don't forget to check out my Facebook page. It's DJ Styles Rock On. I post it on my next show, and also I will be on Trek Talking tomorrow talking about Star Trek Beyond. So if you want to swing on over to Jim's show and check it all out, thank you. Bye.
Let's see what's out there.